Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm really excited. I have another special guest with me today. And this episode is actually going to be available by both audio as well as video. So for those of you who have not yet checked out my YouTube channel, I'll send a link in the description and you can go check it out. Amanda and I had a lot of fun going through the motions of all the technical difficulties that were totally on me to get this up and running. So if you have a chance to log on and see the recording, it's going to be available for you on my channel as well as on Amanda's. So today we're going to be talking about how to develop your intuition to make you feel more empowered. Amanda is a holistic health practitioner, a past life regression facilitator and spiritual teacher with a passion for helping women find their soul purpose. Energy healing is her favorite modality because it promotes healing on all levels of our being, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. She has 6+ years experience as an energy healer, has received her certification as a past life regression facilitator, and is continuing to expand her knowledge by working towards becoming a trained hypnotherapist so she can provide even deeper healing to her clients. When she's not working with her clients, recording YouTube videos, or developing her skills, you can find her Netflix binge watching, walking her dog, Faye, or attending concerts. Amanda, hello, and welcome to Found Family.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, finally got this up and running.
Yay!
Zoom is honestly such a blessing, and I'm so grateful for it. It's just, between phone and computer, I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So here we are. I'm excited to talk with you about this topic. This is a very special topic to me personally, and I'm really excited to dive deeper into, you know, all of your wealth of knowledge. And I love that you, you know, are really putting your practice out there into the world and sharing your good vibes and healing. That is so beautiful. So thank you on behalf of all of us for all that you do. So to jump right in as a big, big question, right? Like let's start big.
Let's do it.
What does it mean to have intuition?
It's like having this inner GPS or like almost like this magic eight ball inside of you, just having the answers to every single question that you could possibly think of. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to stress about it. You're just like, hey, da-da-da-da. And you shake the magic eight ball. It's like, yes. Or no, obviously, but.
So more of like a feeling, like something that you feel deep inside.
Yeah, it's for the most part, it's a feeling, but we all receive our intuitive nudges or intuitive hits in different ways called clairs. So we might dive into that a little bit later.
Perfect. So a great segue then is where does intuition come from?
So it comes, and I'm probably going to say things that are not very like popular thoughts or opinions, but just hear me out. Intuition is really just this thing inside of us. It comes from within us. It's our higher being. It's our soul basically inside of us that just guides us along the way. So it comes from us, actually.
Comes from us. I personally can attest to that as something that, you know, as I started my personal development journey and also my spiritual journey, and like big distinction for me personally, it's not like a religious affiliation mm-hmm. whatsoever. It is like a completely beautiful, like it's like a relationship with the self as opposed yes. to exterior things. And I agree with you that there are probably some things that, you know, I might say that are not according to popular belief or, you know, what might be, I don't know if politically correct is the right, that's not exactly what I'm trying to say, but like according to popular belief. But for those who have, you know, been following my podcast and Twitter, I've actually shared that I suffered from scrupulosity, which is an OCD subset affiliated with religion, which basically means that everything that affected me as a young person when it came to religion, because I suffer from OCD, I would take things and it would just escalate. And I was basically forced to experience, like, I would do compulsions as a way of trying to cope with the level of anxiety that I had, because everything was like, if I had a blasphemous thought or if I had something, it was like, oh my God, God's going to strike me down and I have to do something in order to make sure that he's not mad at me, or, you know, I have to pray a certain way so that I cleanse myself. And so, you know, it wow. was, yeah.
That it's sounds heavy. Intense.
It's heavy. It's very intense. So one of the key things, you know, for me in my journey was distinguishing, like, what was this programming in me versus, like, what is my spirit telling me? Like, what is Lizzie trying to tell Lizzie? So I totally hear you. And that was, you know, just a little backstory for my personal experience. But that actually is a really great segue into the next question, which is, how can we distinguish the difference between intuition and anxiety / fear / ego?
So our intuition is always kind. It always has that nice voice, that loving voice, where fear and ego, it's that, and I can't even think of the right word to use right now, but it's that, like, that negative mean voice in your head that's like, I don't know, you're not good enough, or how could you not know that? Like, that is your ego and fear, where your intuition would never, ever take that tone with you. And also the urgency, fear and ego is very, like, it makes you feel all, oh my God, my God, my God, my God. Like, you're all anxious all of a sudden. Intuition, complete opposite. It's almost like this deep knowing. You take a breath, you're like, oh, okay. So I don't even know if that is the... I got distracted by the beep on my computer. Okay. I'm sorry.
Technology is just doing this thing today. We're just going to roll
pretty much.
Totally rolling with it.
But yes, the urgency and the tone are completely different when it comes to ego and fear versus intuition.
That's a really great point. And I really love and honor that you said that, because I think it's such a concise, like, short, sweet, and to the point way of explaining it, that the ego, this, you know, even from the dialogue that I've used on Found Family, is like overcoming the demons in our minds, or like the inner critic or the inner mean girl. There's so many different, you know, authors and fellow podcasters and, you know, coaches out there who call it different things, but really we're all referring to the same thing. It's that voice in our head that makes us feel disempowered versus feeling empowered.
Exactly.
And that makes total sense, where I didn't understand, again, like, that distinct, you know, I wasn't able to distinguish the difference. Because one quick comment to add is that I think a lot of us can agree that when we are either programmed to behave in a certain way, respond to things in a certain way, or we are so used to negative self-talk, we don't realize that we're abusing ourselves. We don't realize that it's a form of emotional abuse. And so when you become so accustomed to talking to yourself in a certain way, it's kind of, you know, like, I'm just going to say, it sounds a little bit, it's like twisted, right? That it's like, you get so used to talking to yourself in that way, mm-hmm. that if you start listening to your intuition, you start listening to, like, that voice that is trying to help you feel empowered, loved, safe, secure, it's like, what is this? I don't know if I can trust that. I don't know what that means, this thing, because we get comfortable sitting in, like, the discomfort, because that becomes the norm. So again, that is something that I can, you know, personally relate to. Not sure if you have, like, a specific example in your personal life, if you're comfortable and open to sharing, but, you know, that is definitely something that I personally can relate to. So what you shared just resonated with me.
The only example I can think of off the top of my head is when I was first starting out, because I didn't know what intuition was or even what ego was. Like, I had no clue. So when I first started tapping into it completely unintentionally, my first response, so I would get my intuitive hit, let's say the answer was yes. And then all of a sudden my ego would kick in and be like, what are you doing? You're having a conversation like by yourself. What is this voice? The answer is not yes. Obviously that's not the logical response. So I was having a very constant battle within myself. And it took a very long time to actually overcome that because, like you say, we're conditioned to it. So because it's different, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people, there are people who do not want to or do not believe in intuition because they may have gotten a little too close and it was a little bit uncomfortable. They're like, no, this doesn't work. This isn't right. Like if it was intuition, it would be incredible. And yeah, it is incredible. But it's just like anything else. It's a muscle. You need to work on it. You're not just going to blink of an eye, boom, like I'm a psychic medium, the most intuitive person you've ever met in your life. Like it doesn't work that way.
Right. Absolutely. And so to bring this topic into, for example, like the mental health space, you know, for fellow Found Family podcast listeners and fellow family members on, you know, on Twitter, that word intuition might be a trigger word for some people, especially for those who suffer from OCD, as you know, the obsessive thoughts really oftentimes feel like reality. So is it possible for people who suffer from OCD to distinguish and develop intuition?
100%. I honestly can't think of a single reason why they wouldn't be. We're all, at the end of the day, we're all souls in a physical body. And if our soul is programmed to have intuition inside of us, could it be a little bit harder to develop because you have that additional, can't even think of the like the politically correct word to use right
now. insert from the book that I read about the four steps to recovering from OCD is your brain is locked. So it's like an internal brain lock. So for people who suffer from OCD.
I like that.
Yeah, and that's like Dr. Jeffrey, I need to find the book, Jeffrey Schwartz, you probably saw my leggings. Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz talks about it in his book.
So yeah, because of that brain lock, it could be harder to do. You might need a little bit more patience, a little bit more commitment, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. You can absolutely do it.
And that's first and foremost very reassuring, and I hope that that message really resonates with our listeners as a message of hope and as a message of something to, you know, really look forward to. And adding to that, because again, I am someone who has suffered from obsessive compulsive disorder my whole life, I can share just a quick, you know, example from my life and how I was able to really work this muscle. And I love that you said that because you're right, it is absolutely a muscle. It's not easy, but just in the same way that, you know, I've been on a fitness journey and I was not able to lift more than like 5 pounds of weights for certain exercises, I can now, you know, do like curls with 12s depending on the day, but I can lift heavier. So it wasn't easy, but it was something that came with practice. It was something that came with patience. It was something that came with, you know, connecting with people who knew what they were talking about and just trusting and believing in the process. And I can speak from personal experience that when it came to understanding the difference between what my OCD brain was telling me and what my intuition was telling me, I did find that going back to what you said about like fear, any time that I would experience, you know, a rumination or an obsessive thought. So again, using religious as an example, if let's say, you know, I was like planning on waiting until marriage, like, you know, that was, I had a purity ring until I was 24. So for me personally, and I don't actually think I've shared that, you know, on my podcast yet, but I'm totally comfortable sharing it because this just helps people understand what it's the brain of like someone who suffers from OCD. But I would tell myself that if I thought about kissing someone or if I thought about being in a relationship with someone, that it was like against God's will because I wasn't married yet and I knew that I had to wait until I was married to do certain things. So I would tell myself, you had a bad thought. You deserve to be punished now. You deserve something really horrible to happen to you. And so in order to prevent that from happening, the only way is to pray this specific prayer or to, you know, recite these things in specific order over repetition. And if you don't do that, something bad is going to happen to you. And it was like, that is 100% the voice of fear. That is fear screaming from the rooftops. That was not my intuition. That was 100% OCD slash inner critic slash mean girl slash inner demons in my mind trying to keep me trapped in the brain lock loop. And so in the book, it talks about, you know, really being able to like relabel and reattribute where these thoughts are coming from, to like recognize this is not you. You are not your thoughts. You are not these things that you're thinking. And even though they feel real, they feel like, you know, they give you the same sensations, because that's what's also really crazy is like your heart rate goes up, your hands start sweating, you give yourself the same physical reaction as if you were having, you know, a fight or flight response. If there was like a lion in front of you, it's like you can still trigger yourself to feel the same way. So what helped me develop this muscle was leaning in to the voice of strength and courage and love. And every time I would, you know, try to, what I say, tap into my inner hippie, which like I feel like my intuition is like this beautiful hippie child with like long flowy hair and flowers around her head, and like
I love it.
Absolutely, like loves life and is not, you know, doesn't overthink things. Like it's just the total opposite of what the OCD has made me believe to be true about myself. And so the more that I practiced, you know, reflecting in my journal, that was the best way to like really go through all these thoughts, was like figuring out, okay, how do I sift through what's, you know, going on in my head? I would literally tell myself, this voice right here doesn't sound like the voice of fear. So this must mean something more. Sorry for going off on a tangent, but I just, because again, like I know it was a tough question. To everyone who's listening, I definitely put Amanda on the spot for this question, but I did want to be able to spend some time to address it, because again, I know that for, you know, even friends in my life who are not, as you know, they think it's like woo woo stuff. I really wanted to spend like time addressing what intuition, you know, it's like, as you said, this inner programming that as humans, we all have it. We all have access, just as we're all able, you know, to do certain things. It's like human beings are given this ability, and we just have to like accept it and learn how to access it, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing. So great. So, you know, again, really great segue into the next question is, how do we know that we can trust our intuition?
See that? Another question that I'm kind of nervous about, because it's going to lead me into like some story. So
please do. I just went into the story. I want to hear it.
This is how I see it. And this is how I pretty much explain it, is if we are all souls inside of a physical body. So if you rewind that and you think of your soul before it went into the physical body, the line of thinking is that we all agreed before we came to Earth that this is what we want to face, these are the challenges we want to face, these are the celebrations we want to have, and then we come to this planet in our physical body, but unfortunately our brain is wiped clean, so we don't remember anything that we just agreed to. So what happens is we are given angels and spirit guides and knowledge of universal energy and our intuition, and they all work together to help push us onto this end goal that we said that we were going to do, that this is what we wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like terrifying to me, to be completely honest with you, to think that if this has been given to all of us and we agree to do all these things, and now all of a sudden the tools that we were given, we can't rely on. It's like, well, shit, then what can we rely on? Right. So this is like our backbone almost in life. That's how I see intuition. And that's how I think that we can trust it, because it came from source, whether that is God or universe or whatever it is that you want to picture that to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like nervous because you had the whole religion example. I'm like, oh my God, did I just use a terrible example?
No. See, and that's where, you know, again, either if I'm speaking directly to someone who, you know, follows a certain religion or someone who, similar to me, grew up in a religion and mm-hmm. it unfortunately, I don't even know how to phrase this, but it's like is something that almost adds more confusion than hope and peace and comfort in your own mind. And it's not to say that I don't, you know, like, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, first and foremost, like disclaimer, like everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Everyone is entitled to follow whatever modality, practice, religion, thought, et cetera, that aligns with you, your mission, and what you believe to be true. I think that at the end of the day, if what you believe in gives you a peaceful, empowering, like compass, if it helps point into a direction that is more empowering versus disempowering, then power to you. And that's why, to your point, you know, in the same way that the ego can also be called the inner mean girl or the inner critic or the inner demon, the same is true about source, spirit, spirit guides, God, you know, whatever it is that you decide to call it, because there's still a common denominator. It's like a derivative, you know, of. So that's also how I see it as well. And to you, you know, replying to that question and feeling concerned, I want to reassure you not to feel concerned. Because first and foremost, this is your truth and I really honor it. And secondly, again, from a personal perspective, like it's also something that I personally believe in. And although I grew up with a very specific lens, when I challenged my views and I looked at like my value systems, my belief systems, I found out that a lot of it was programming from my mom, who has narcissistic personality disorder. And, you know, long story short as well is that my uncle had taken his life. And I think that religion to her became this safety net and it helped her go through what she was going through. So that's her truth. I have found that my truth is, you know, feeling this interconnectedness with myself. And it's not to say that I don't believe in a higher power, that I don't believe in God. I think that as I've taken lots of time to read books, listen to podcasts, you know, expand my horizon and challenge myself by asking deeper questions, my views, my values and everything have like evolved to where I am today. And I really honor that. And I also recognize that these topics are like, this is the first podcast episode on Found Family that is like more about like spirituality than like mental health. But truthfully, it's kind of in alignment with where I'm also going to be taking like my coaching practice. Like I still want Found Family podcast to be about like, you know, fellow resilient women sharing their stories of overcoming and learning and basically using their story as an example to help people go through what it is that they're going through. And I still want it to be about, you know, mental health and helping us to feel a more connectedness with, you know, our minds and our bodies. But really it's like, this is all connected, body, mind, and spirit. So I don't want to not talk about the spirit side of things because I first and foremost will not be doing myself service. I would be doing myself a disservice by not inviting more conversations like this. And two, it's like these things are all connected. So the closer that you can get to your intuition, to your, you know, inner loving being, the closer that you will get to feeling empowered, which is going to help improve your mental health and your well-being. So that's my little spiel on that.
And I realized while you were talking that it was almost like a real life example, just proving that if you are someone who's just starting out developing your intuition, or you've been doing it for years and years and years, you can still say something, whether it's logically or intuitively guided to speak, and at the very end of the conversation, you can still have a very human experience, be like, fear ego. Oh shit, should you have said that? I don't want anyone who's starting out to feel discouraged because they're like, this is how things are supposed to be, and I need to follow this process. And like, it's not like that. We are still human beings. We are still going to have fear and ego and good days and bad days. And I can be a spiritual teacher and still have my ego kick in and be like, that wasn't a very good answer now, was it? So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. And even, you know, again, to your point, as we're sitting here, I'm like, am I talking too much? Am I, you know, like, and the ego is always going to start feeding you things that are going to try and keep you away from yourself. So the more self-awareness that we develop, which again, like this all ties in with mental health, is like the more self-awareness and self-reflection, the more self-empowered we will be, the more self, you know, control we will have. It's all tied. And so we can't forget about the spirit, because that really is like the, if we metaphorically look at it, that like the spirit is the outlet and then everything else plugs into it. And if you think about like a power cord, like you, those double-sided, you know, like if there's two plugs in the wall and you put in the, yeah, so that you have more to plug into the cord. It makes more sense in my brain, I think, but I think you guys get what I mean. But it's like a power cord with multiple outlets, but it's all connected to the same source. So that is really how I see it. And truthfully, and this is where it's beautiful, and I really like honor spirit and the universe for helping to, you know, bring this conversation into existence, is that when I started my journey about 4.5 years ago, like more seriously, I was like living with my inner spirit. Like she became this person that I, you know, and trying to see how to explain this. It's like everything that I thought to be true was like brought into the light. I realized I was, you know, like a very angry, very jealous, very conflicted person because of the OCD, because of my upbringing, because of, you know, all these different things that made me believe that that's who I was. And when I had like a very, very big thing in my life explode in my face and I thought it was my fault, the self-loathing was through the roof. I suffered from anxiety and depression way more than I did as a child. And I started having panic attacks at a very young age. But the self-loathing was so bad that I was at one point having, you know, suicidal thoughts and just like was so down that I felt like I had to do something, change my behavior in some way, which is when I picked up self-help books and I started digging deeper into the intuition and understanding myself better. And when I found her, this beautiful hippie spirit that I had shoved into a closet, I kept hearing her crying from the closet, but I finally like opened up the door and let her out and let her shine and let her make the decisions and let her, you know, help guide me. And for 2 years, I did not have a panic attack. I did not have any ROCD. I did not have, you know, like my mind was at peace because I basically like, for lack of a better words, I like threw up my middle finger and was like, you know what? Whatever I thought to be true, I just don't believe it anymore. Like, I don't want to be living in this box that I was put in because I believe differently than the upbringing that I like grew up in. And, you know, it's basically through that, that I like accessed that. And then something like ego said something in my head, knocked me down. And I was like experiencing the OCD again. And it took me like about 1.5 years to kind of get back to be like, oh, right. Remember that girl that you threw in the closet? Like, well, she kind of just like sat down on the sofa during that party the other night. Like, why don't you just like have everyone leave the party and like bring her back out? Because she like did so much goodness. And, you know, to be able to feel that, it's an indescribable feeling. It's like no amount of anything on this planet can give you the feeling that you feel when you make peace with like your inner spirit. and I bought a book about like spirit guides, and it was about unicorns. And that was like the connection that I made to go back into this. So again, like this conversation is like a manifestation of a seed that was planted. So I thank you for this.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, of course.
I love being able to talk about this. This is so fun.
Clearly I do too. I'm sorry that I'm like, I did not like intend on sharing so many personal stories, but I really feel like that's also what Found Family is like a way for us to soul chat, to get really deep and talk about, you know, our lives and our personal stories. And I want it to be used as a platform that both people in the conversation feel like, you know, it's a safe space to talk about their personal experiences, because people who are listening can say, oh, whatever it was that she just said, that makes sense because I went through that, or I felt that way too. Yes. Like I want this podcast to really empower people and help make that connection. Like I'm not alone. Whatever she went through is like very similar to what I'm going through. How did she get to where she is now? Because like I relate to her story. So if you also, again, like I'll give you the mic. If you have a personal story that you'd like to share as well, please feel free. Because it's very therapeutic. I mean, for me, like being able to talk through things, that's also why I have a podcast. It's like, I love to be able to talk through these things.
Meanwhile, I'm a total introvert and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm put on the spot. I don't know what to say.
You're doing great and I love it.
As we keep talking, I'm sure I did have an idea, like a memory that popped in my head while you were talking,
and then
it completely escaped my mind. So I'm sure it will come back before the end of this conversation.
Okay. Fab. Well, the final question actually, and then we can discuss personal stories that hopefully that comes back to you, but in what ways can we use intuition to make us feel more empowered?
I feel like we can use intuition in literally every single situation or scenario. I don't even know how this story is like relating to the question or the answer, but I'm just going to say it anyway. So once upon a time, probably like almost 10 years ago, I was newly married. I had everything that I was supposed to have. Hmm. I had the new apartment, I had the car, I had the great relationship, I had the stable, steady job, and I was miserable. And I felt like it was my fault that I was miserable. So it took me, like you said, you started picking up the self-help books. I didn't realize, to be completely honest with you, because I'm probably like the most naive person on this entire planet, I didn't even realize that I was picking up like self-help books, and they had nothing at the time to do with intuition. But it was, those books were opening me up to the possibility of something else, something outside of the 9-to-5, something outside of not wanting to or not being able to physically get out of bed some days. So building up that little muscle has been so empowering for me, because I have been able to say, this isn't my fault. There was a lesson in all of it. Absolutely, 1000% there was a lesson in all of that. But I have been able to actually like have, how do I say that?
I know,
have
right?
conversations with myself in like a non-creepy way to actually like empower myself and be like, no, you are doing the right thing. This is the right decision. And there's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And I literally can't even imagine myself living this life now in this present moment without having my intuition being my right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that answered your question. Not even gonna lie.
So it did, because you know, the question was, in what ways can we use intuition to make us feel more empowered? So it sounds like both of us can relate even to one another, that picking up books or just, you know, really shifting our mindsets to being open to possibilities, yes, to new thoughts, to new, you know, lessons. Like, and I think that is, you know, one of the greatest life lessons that I've ever learned. Because again, when I grew up with OCD, having a parent that has narcissistic personality disorder, there was always a right or a wrong answer. There was always the right or wrong way to do something. There was always the right or wrong way to feel. Like, I oftentimes was not given the opportunity to feel the way that I said that I thought I felt, because I was always, you know, there was like a disruption in my thinking process because I was trying to figure out, how does this make me feel? What does this mean? How do I view myself? How do I feel about myself? Do I like this thing? Am I only doing this because mom told me to? You know, so it was, but it, talk about naive. I think I'm probably right there with you. If not, I was probably more naive. People in college, the fact that I even lived on a college campus is beyond me, because I grew up super sheltered. I didn't swear. I didn't even like, when everyone was watching MTV and doing all their, you know, kid things, I like missed out. Like, that whole life stage was non-existent in my life. I was acting like a 52-year-old when I was 14 years old because I was the mom of the group. And when I went to college, I was the mom of the group. So I really didn't understand how to get to know myself, because I kept fearing this right or wrong. And so to shift my mindset was not easy, but I definitely got to a place of like hitting rock bottom. And I think sometimes for people who are hard-headed like me, maybe the universe needed something really big to happen to be like, do you get it now? I'm trying to talk to you. And I'm similar to you. It's like, even though I suffered so much pain and I went through so much, like, I'm getting emotional just thinking about how I felt during those days, I'm still grateful that they happened, because if it wasn't for all of the like disempowering things that happened in my past, I wouldn't have fallen so flat on my face. That would have like basically forced me to like pick myself back up with like, and like, such a determination to shift, because I think that was just like what I needed. Now, that's also my personality. So you said you're an introvert. Like, I'm clearly, you know, I'm an extrovert. It's like, I don't know if that's obvious or not, but like, love to talk, love to, you know, use my hands. So for those of you who are just listening to the audio, if you want to go check out the video, I'm using my hands a lot. That's just how I am. And I used to see a lot of these things as negatives, because again, you know, having a parent tell you like, don't show this side of yourself until someone like, get, you know, like, dating advice was like, don't show who you are until they fall in love with you first. And I'm like, now as an adult, I'm like, that is the dumbest advice ever, because how are they going to fall in love with you if you don't show them who you are? And if you show them a fake version of you, then they're not falling in love with you. So it's, that's, you know, there's wires crossed. Now I'm like, you know what? I do have a big personality. I do talk a lot, and I do, you know, and it's like, but I love these things about myself. So I learned how to, and I think that that's also a way in which we can develop our intuition is, you know, as a recap, I guess, but, you know, shifting our mindsets, opening up ourselves to new opportunities, new experiences, reading, writing, journaling helps tremendously. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other thing is focusing on our strengths. That was what helped me every single time I have gotten to a place of like deep, dark depression, which sort of crept its way back in last year when I, got let go from my job. And I was not depressed because I got let go. I was going to quit anyway. However, I was depressed because I didn't know what was next. I felt helpless and hopeless and powerless, truly. So when I put pen to paper and said, Lizzie, you're going to write down a list of 10 things that you love about yourself, including the strengths that you know that you have, it gave me that, like, you know, push, because gave me the push to, maybe push isn't the right word, but it like fulfilled me. It like filled my cup back up. And once my cup was filled, I was then able to move forward and take action on certain things. So, I mean, there's like so many directions that I want to take this, but for just, you know, keeping it short and simple as much as I can, that I think is like a great summary of just, you know, how we can tap into the intuition, how we can access it, how we can harness its power, how we can develop it, and how you know, literally we can start using it today.
Ditto. 100%. Yes. Especially on the whole journaling aspect. Absolutely. I don't know if I would have made it this far without journaling.
Yeah. I still have journals actually from when I was like in middle school, and I haven't gone through them, but I'm like semi-curious just to, you know, I think what's great is if you do go back, don't go back and stay in the past. Go back to remember what you experienced and then see how far you've come and celebrate how far you've come.
Yes.
Because again, painting a picture, like an analogy is if you go into the graveyard and you stay there, it's a very scary place and it's not healthy to mentally stay there. So it's kind of like remember and honor where you were, even though it was challenging, and then walk right out of there and just stand confidently in your power and in your truth, knowing that you've kicked ass, you've come a long way, you've absolutely overcome the demons in your mind, you've transformed. Like that is part of life. If we were the same people we were years ago, like, you know, what would that be like? Like growth is the most exciting part about being on a journey, whatever journey you're on. If it's a career journey, a spiritual journey, a relationship journey, like everything, it's just a way for us to get that intuition connection and build it even stronger. So I love this topic. This is fun. Did your story come back to mind, by the way?
It was actually the story about being depressed, not being able to get out of bed and needing to rely on books too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And again,
so it came back.
Great. See? Little triggers. Yay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I cannot believe that like we're already at time. This was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. And I want to encourage my Found family to support Amanda. We have connected on Twitter, so I know that you're on Twitter. Of course, mm-hmm. You have your YouTube channel. I'm going to have all of her links in the description of this podcast episode, as well as the YouTube video. So please go check out all of Amanda's links, follow her, like her stuff, send her love. We're all here to spread love on one another, especially during these very confusing, challenging days. Amanda, what other links or things do you have that you would like to share with people?
Other than YouTube, you are more than welcome to come check me out on theintuitivewife.com.
Perfect. And I'll have the link to that as well.
Perfect.
Great. All right.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. Oh, hi, everybody on Found Family. It was nice to be your guest today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family. Or if you share on social, be sure to tag me @CoachLizzie.